to bonds is pretty much like my approach to stocks. If I can't understand something, I tend to forget it. That for Warren Buffett. Hi, I'm Rob West. Well, if the Oracle of Omaha thinks bonds can be difficult to understand, you shouldn't feel bad if you need someone to explain these fixed income securities to you. Fortunately, we have Mark Biller with us today to do just that. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, let's face it, bonds are a little mysterious to many people. For example, when interest rates rise, bond prices go down. What's up with that? Well, Mark Biller is going to make bonds a lot more understandable in the next few moments. He's executive editor at Sound Mind Investing, where they have a knack for getting down to the basics. By the way, let me mention, Mark will stay with us for a bit during the program today, taking your calls and questions on, yes, bonds, but also investments, the market, the economy. Anything investing related today, Mark's here, 800-525-7000. You can call right now, and we'll look forward to hearing from you and getting you your questions in front of Mark today. All right, Mark, great to have you with us, sir.
Thanks, Rob. Good to be back with you.
Now, we're talking bond basics today, and folks can, of course, read more about it on your website, soundmindinvesting.org. You have an article titled Duration, A Simple Way to Gauge Bond Risk. Now, we probably don't need to point out that things have been pretty tough for bond investors recently, huh?
Yeah, that's certainly true, Rob. You know, after a decade or so of the Fed and other global central banks pushing interest rates down to historic lows and then holding them there, the last 3 years have been quite a shock to bond investors. For example, the 30-year Treasury bond yield bottomed at just under 1% back in 2020, just after COVID. But that yield has soared all the way up to 5% recently. And as a result, owners of long-term bond funds have had cumulative losses of roughly 50% over the last 3 years. Now, that rivals the worst stock market declines that we saw during the big bear markets back in the 2000s.
Yeah, that's a huge hit, especially when you've got a lot of retirees counting on bonds. So how does something like this happen, Mark?
Yeah, well, to answer that, Rob, we kind of need a crash course. Let's call it Bond Investing 101. So sure. When you buy a bond, which is essentially a glorified IOU, you're acting as a lender. So you're lending your money at interest to a company, an organization, a government. Now, that's in contrast to when you buy a stock, because then you're acting as an owner. You're buying a partial equity stake in a company. So very different things, owning stocks versus bonds. Now, there are two major risks when it comes to buying bonds. The first is called credit risk, and that speaks to the idea that you might not get all your money back. Mm. You're counting on the borrower to be creditworthy and to keep making the interest payments and pay off the bonds when they mature. Now, the most common way to minimize credit risk is, one, lend to really credit-worthy institutions, and then, two, you spread your holdings out among lots of different bonds, which is exactly what bond mutual funds do. So that's credit risk. Now, the second major risk for bondholders, and this is the one that's been causing all the trouble lately, is interest rate risk. And that's the possibility that you can get locked into a below market rate of return. So this is really the same risk that you face when you're trying to decide how long to tie up your money in a bank CD. Mm. But it has a lot more significance when investing in bonds, because with a CD, you might be locked in for a year. So if rates rise after 6 months, it's a bummer because you're at a below market rate for 6 months. But with long-term bonds, you can be locked in for years and years and years. And so because of that, if you want to sell a bond that's been saddled with what's now a below market interest rate, you're going to have to drop the price of that bond in order to entice a buyer to buy it. And so that's why you pretty much have this iron rule that when interest rates go up, bond prices go down and vice versa.
Yeah, that's really helpful. A lot of information, but really important information. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll dig into this a bit further. Plus, your questions today for Mark Biller on anything investing, 800-525-7000. We're talking bonds today with Mark Biller on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. We can learn a lot during the holiday season. As we approach Christmas, tensions can begin to flare up in our homes. We say words that we immediately regret. Feelings can be hurt, relationships strained. It reminds us that we are sinners. The good news is that Christ came, and He's brought hope for needy sinners like you and me. In Mary's song from Luke 1, she gives abundant details on what Jesus' coming means for us. She sang, His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. We may endure hard days filled with grief over our sins and failures, but Jesus gives mercy to those who fear Him. Our sins may be great, but His mercy is greater. That's a Christmas miracle. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
To have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. With me today, my good friend Mark Biller. He's executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. You can learn more, including reading the article we're talking about today at soundmindinvesting.org. Just look for the article titled Duration, a Simple Way to Gauge Bond Risk. In this portion of the broadcast, we're beginning today talking about bonds, what you need to know about them, how they move with or without the market, and where they're going from here. We'll get to that. We're also taking your calls on anything investing related in this portion of the broadcast, 800-525-7000. We'll go to the phones in just a moment. But Mark, before the break, you were saying that the length of the bond is obviously pretty important as rates rise, because the longer you're stuck with the lower interest rate, the more that bond will have to be discounted, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Rob. The longer you have to wait until a bond matures the longer you're vulnerable to this interest rate risk. Now, the shorter the maturity, the less volatile a bond's price will be, and likewise, the shorter the average maturity of all the individual bonds held by a bond fund, the less volatile that fund's price will be. And that's why one of the ways you can reduce risk when you own bonds is to lean towards shorter maturity bonds instead of longer term bonds.
Yeah, and that's one of the key takeaways to keep in mind as we talk about this today. Now, this is where we really get into the title of this month's article at soundmindinvesting.org, which really focuses on this idea of bond duration, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And while the exact details of that can get a little complicated, suffice it to say that the shorter the average length of a bond fund, the less it is likely to move in response to changes in interest rates. So like we just said, you know, one way to reduce risk when you're investing in bonds is to go to short-term bonds rather than long-term. Now, this article that we're talking about this month, Rob, it has a full explanation of duration for listeners who really want to dig into this story. But one of the most interesting little aspects of this for most listeners is going to be that the duration of a bond fund can tell you roughly how much a fund's value is likely to change if interest rates move up or down. So the rough rule of thumb here, we love rules of thumb, I know, for every 1% change in interest rates, a bond fund's price will usually move in the opposite direction by the fund's duration. So for example, if you're looking at a short-term bond fund with a duration of 3, that means that if interest rates go up by 1%, that fund will likely fall by 3%, the amount of the duration. Now, if you look at a long-term bond fund with a duration of, say, 10, that means that a 1% move in interest rates would cause that fund to fall by 10%. And that's how we get to those huge losses that I talked about earlier for long-term bond funds. Shorter-term funds have also fallen in the last few years, but not nearly by the same degree.
Yeah, so when you're talking duration of 3 or 10, those would be years, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the average length in the fund of all the bonds in the fund.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. So the duration obviously corresponds with that move in interest rates and can give you an idea of what's going to happen to the price as it moves. Now, what about the role of inflation in bond prices?
Yeah. So now we're getting into the really good stuff. So inflation and interest rates are directly related because the primary tool that the Federal Reserve and other central banks around the world use to combat inflation is they raise and lower short-term interest rates. So if we think of inflation as too much money chasing a certain number of goods, when the Fed raises interest rates, people now have to use more of their money to pay interest expense, which reduces the amount of money that's chasing those goods. And that's what relieves the pressure driving inflation and prices higher. So higher inflation is normally going to produce higher interest rates. Then as interest rates go up, bond prices fall. So it's no surprise then, Rob, that inflation is the boogeyman that bond investors lie awake at night dreading.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Well, this is really helpful, Mark. All right, in just a moment, we're going to get to where bonds stand today and then the outlook for 2024. But let's take some questions here. We've got lines open. Mark Biller with us today answering your questions on bonds or anything investing related, 800-525-7000. Paula, thanks for your patience there in Oklahoma. How can we help you?
There. It's not dealing with bonds.
That's okay.
Mine is on Bitcoin.
All right.
I was wondering, not investing, buying stock. Mine is like, you know, putting money into a Bitcoin account and how does that work? Just a short snippet. And what do you think about it?
Yeah. And so let me just clarify, you're not looking at it as an investment. You're just wondering about the use of Bitcoin as a means of exchange.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Can you give us just a quick primer, Mark?
On Bitcoin as a means of exchange, I would say that, you know, I probably wouldn't fool with that at this point, because there really is very little that you can do with Bitcoin in terms of buying and selling things. Now, that's kind of a long-term vision that a lot of Bitcoin people have, is that eventually we'll have a payment system that you can use your Bitcoin to buy and sell things. And there are some very rudimentary kind of rails being built to that effect, but it's still very much in its infancy. At this point, most people are interested in Bitcoin more as like a new age alternative to gold, which, if you think about why a lot of people like gold, it's because they're leery of the changes in the currency, the debasement of the dollar, and those sorts of things. And so they like the idea of Bitcoin or gold as a form of money, an alternate form of money that will hold its value. So a little bit of a distinction there. I'm not sure, Paula, if I'm hitting that right on for you. Is that kind of what you're wondering about?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering about. Yep,
okay.
That's exactly
okay.
What I was wanting to know about.
Very good. Thank you for your call, Paula. Go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
I would just add that, you know, we've said this a number of times, Rob, but you just have to be really careful with Bitcoin because of the volatility. So, you know, if you're thinking about it as like a gold alternative, it's similar in the way it's viewed and the case for it, but the volatility is going to be much, much higher. So you just have to be wary of that. And usually when you have high volatility in an asset, you want to use your sizing of that asset to manage the volatility. So with high volatility assets like Bitcoin, you bring your position sizing way down to compensate for that high volatility.
Yeah, very good. Mark, just quickly, in terms of an investment, what would you say to folks considering it there? Obviously, we saw that surge that took it all the way to 40,000, you know, back in 2021, I guess it was. We're still not back there, although it's done better this year. What would you say about Bitcoin as an investment?
Yeah, you know, it's just it. You know, it went up to 68,000, down to like 15,000. Now it's back to about 40,000. So it is just a wild ride.
Yeah.
So, you know, I personally prefer gold for the purpose we're talking about, as kind of insurance against currency debasement.
Yeah.
But if you're going to do it, just know you're in for a wild ride.
A wild ride. That's a good description. All right, back with Mark Biller after this and your questions. 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back.
In the book of Luke, we read the story of a sinner who washed the feet of Jesus with her tears, dried them with her hair, and anointed them with expensive perfume. She was all in. Jesus said of that woman, she loved much. Guest writer Rick Robertson says,
this story reminds me of what happens in the life of every person who's born again. There's an overflow of gratitude to Jesus for saving us.
Read the blog, She Loved Much, at afa.net/thestand.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
What does the American Family Association stand for? We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, Mark Biller. He's executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. You can learn more at soundmindinvesting.org. We're talking specifically about bonds today. Mark's giving us a bit of a primer on bond basics. And just ahead, we'll talk about where bonds stand today and where they might be headed as we look into 2024. But first, let's take a few more phone calls. Carl's been waiting patiently in Texas. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Rob. Question I had, and it's regarding other shows that you've had. I have a savings account for two of my granddaughters, and I want to transfer that out of the savings account without a penalty, hopefully, because it's child savings account, into a mutual fund, or I was thinking Timothy fund, if I can square that away, but
yeah,
I didn't know how to do it. Now, I'd also like to take it out of their name because I heard you do a show the other day with a lady, and she said at 18 she didn't want them to have control of it. It's not that I would mind them having control of it. I just don't want it to affect their college borrowing.
Yes.
So I don't know how to do that. I know you've talked about a 15-something for school, but again, you don't know if they're going to go to school.
Yeah. Great question. Let me just clarify a couple of things. So are these savings bonds that you have?
No. I'm going to start doing the savings bonds after hearing your show today. But and my dad used to do that for us when we were kids. But no, it's just a savings account.
Okay. Yeah. And I, to be clear, we're talking about just bonds in general. We would opt more toward, high grade corporate or government bonds. Savings bonds are not paying a very attractive rate. So you can do well in bonds, but I would probably just as a general rule stay away from savings bonds. So this is what we would call a custodial account in the name of the child. And what is it currently invested in?
It's just a savings account. It's okay, not invested in anything.
Okay, so it's
like
at a bank?
To, change that.
Sure.
Yeah, it's at USAA.
Okay.
I retired from the military in 2012.
All right, so you've got money in a custodial account at USAA just sitting in savings earning interest, and you want to get it working for the grandchildren, and you're thinking about a Timothy Plan fund, but you also would like to get it out of the custodial account. I don't think you can do that. Once you put it into the custodial account, it's now for the benefit of the child and has to be used for the benefit of the child. So, I don't know a way where you could change that back and retitle it in your name or jointly held with you and your wife. You are correct in that, yes, it automatically becomes their asset at the age of majority. So if they're spiritually or, financially not ready for that from a maturity level, that can be a challenge because they can use it however they want. And it is considered an asset of the child, which does impact more significantly than, let's say, an asset of a parent, their financial aid needs-based financial aid eligibility in terms of the expected family contribution. So what I think you would probably want to do is just open another custodial account at, let's say, Fidelity or Schwab that would then transfer it over. and then you could purchase those mutual funds that you're looking for. Mark, anything I'm missing on that?
No, I think that's it. So, you know, if you knew that you wanted to use, say, the Timothy plan, you could set up an account directly with them, have them take care of that or transfer it over there, or Schwab, Fidelity, like you said, Rob, those are great choices. There have been some changes to the college aid rules, particularly related to grandparents. So you could, you might want to look at those. They've been more favorable now. They don't hurt as much. The contributions from grandparents don't hurt in the formula as much, but that might change just some of the details of your thinking there. You can, you know, just do a Google search or look at Sound Mind Investing, our website, just type in things like 529 plan or college savings to find those details. You know, I think you're on the right track there, Carl, getting some of those funds in, you know, some kind of a stock fund, maybe an intermediate term bond fund to get a little bit higher rate of return than those savings rates is probably a good idea if the kids are young. So I like the overall idea.
Mark, is there a possibility of taking advantage of some of those more favorable rules, even though the money's already in a custodial account, or is that for new contributions?
Yeah, that's going to be tricky. Probably more for new contributions. Once it's in the custodial account, I'm not exactly sure what the rules would be about trying to turn that into like a 529. But again, to Carl's point, you don't always know if the child's going to use that for college. So, you know, it does get hairy when you start titling money in the child's name. I tend to like saving for a child in my own name, frankly, because it just gives you so much more flexibility. Now, sometimes you can lose a little bit on the tax side, but yeah, I think it's probably worth it typically just for the flexibility. And, you know, surprises down the road gives you the flexibility to adapt.
Yeah, that's really good. And perhaps what you want to do here, Carl, is maybe move this account over either directly to Timothy or Fidelity or Schwab, and then freeze those accounts and then just put new contributions into an account earmarked for each of the grandkids in your name, which to Mark's point would give you more flexibility. Thanks for your call, sir. We appreciate it. Joe and Malcolm, we'll get to you after the break because we're coming up on a break. Quickly, Mark, you know, what are your thoughts just on where bonds stand today?
Yeah, you know, it's tricky because when bonds were yielding 2%, a lot of people said, well, that's it. They're not going to go to 3. Then they hit 3. They said, well, we'll never go to 4. And then the 10-year Treasury bond hit 5% in October.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people saying, well, now we're done. The peak is in. And that may be true. They have come down quite a bit in November. But I still think it's a little early to rule that out. But I would also say, Rob, you know, bonds have had a massive repricing over the last 3 years since COVID. And with them down so much, anytime you see a major asset class go down 50%, as an investor, you've got to look there and say, well, is that an opportunity?
Yep.
So, you know, it's hard to buy when you're down a lot, but history shows that's often a great time to buy.
Exactly right. Well, we'll get Mark's take on where bonds go from here. What's the outlook, especially in light of a possible recession next year? Plus your question. Stick around.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
As 2023 comes to a close, we are thankful for the generous and faithful supporters of FaithFi who believe in the message of financial faithfulness found in God's Word. This season, we want to give back to you. For your support, we'll send you the book, Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain. For just a few more days, you can request your copy with your gift of any amount at faithfi.com. Start the new year by aligning God's purposes with your finances. That's faithfi.com.
Spreading the love and message of Jesus just got easier. The Christmas Bundle helps break the ice and open the door to share the gospel. It contains a Christmas shirt, 3 Christmas button or wristband 10 packs, 8 ounces of Noel coffee, the Advent Alphabet book, a Hope of All the Earth CD, and a 10-pack of Isaiah 9:6 stickers, all at a very special price. Get your Christmas Bundle today at resources.afa.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, Mark Biller. We're talking bond basics. If you want to read more about bond investing and specifically the impact of duration on your bond investments, head to soundmindinvesting.org and check out the new article, Duration, A Simple Way to Gauge Bond Risk. We'll be talking to Mark here in just a moment about his outlook for bonds as we head into 2024 and a possible recession next year. But first, we're taking your phone calls today on anything investing related while Mark's with us. The number to call, 800-525-7000. We have a few lines open. Let's go back to the phones to Illinois. Hi, Joe. I understand you want to talk about muni bonds. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to get your take on munis. I've been looking at some munis that are in the 7 to 10 year maturity range, and they can be purchased below par. The coupon is pretty low. They're only paying like, 2.5 to maybe 3%. But since you're buying below par, you will have a capital gain. So just wanted to hear your thoughts on those.
Yeah, Mark.
What state are you in again?
Illinois. And I'm looking at municipal bonds, outside of Illinois. I'm not really too keen on Illinois.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that you just said a lot in about a sentence and a half there, Joe. Let me unpack that for people. So, with municipal bonds, you're buying bonds of states and local governments, typically sometimes utilities, that sort of thing. So what Joe just said is really important. You need to be tuned into the finances of the municipality that's issuing them. And Joe just said he's not real keen on Illinois because for those not in Illinois, they have some pretty specific, unique fiscal challenges in Illinois with the way they've run some budgets and things. So Joe's looking outside the state. Now, that's also important because municipal bonds in particular can give some pretty generous tax benefits when you buy within your own state where you pay state tax. So generally speaking, when people are interested in municipal bonds, they want to look in their own state first because of those tax benefits. To Joe's point, though, he may want to at least diversify a little bit outside the state. Now, Now, generally speaking, Joe, I like municipal bonds right here, and I like them because, especially for investors in higher tax brackets, when you start stacking the higher yields that have been coming along over the last few years with the tax benefits that are available, and also the fact that at this point in the economic cycle, as we're going to talk about in a minute here, it's very likely that we could see yields start to come down, which turns the headwind of higher interest rates into a tailwind of falling interest rates. When you combine all of those things, Joe, in certain situations, municipal bonds can look really, really attractive on an after-tax basis. And that's really the key to figuring out if municipal bonds are worth it for you, because you're going to get a lower rate typically with municipal bonds. So you really have to do the work to factor in what your after-tax rate is going to be. And that's a little bit of a complicated thing to go through on the radio here, but we do have articles on our soundmindinvesting.org website about that. If you use our search box on our site and just type in something like after-tax or go to the bonds articles section of our site, you'll find some articles about exactly how to convert those yields from a nominal municipal bond yield to an after-tax yield. And that then you can compare those with, say, treasury bonds or corporate bonds and see which is a better deal for you specifically. Rob, any thoughts?
No, I think that's spot on. Joe, is that helpful?
Yes. I guess the ones that I had been looking at, actually most of their gain was going to be capital gain because I was buying them below par. And so I really would not be able to reap that tax advantage. At least that's the way I'm understanding it. And I want to make sure that I'm on the right page, because the capital gain would not have any tax exemption, correct?
I believe that's correct, but you would want to verify that for sure in this specific case. But yeah, that does sound right. And I think that in that specific case, then your focus shifts just a little bit more to the credit risk, the credit quality side, because you're obviously banking on holding these to maturity and seeing that capital gain come to fruition. So you just want to make sure that these are not risky investments on the credit side, that they're still going to be there making those payments and fulfilling the obligations of the bond.
All right, thank you. Say AA, I should believe them, or I better do my own research?
I would always do your own research, but at least you know you're hopefully fishing in the right pond with AA, because that's a pretty good credit quality.
All right, thank you.
Absolutely, Joe. Thanks for your call today, sir. Let's go to Tennessee. Hi, Malcolm. How can we help you?
Oh, hi. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for your call. Go ahead.
I've got a bunch of I-bonds, and I'm wondering, I'm 93 years old, incidentally, and it's about time for my children to inherit, and I was wondering I checked price on them the other day, and it seemed like it was about 380 something thousand. I can't remember for sure.
Okay.
That I have in I bought the maximum two times, and you could only buy $10,000 worth, I believe, at a time.
Yeah.
Back when Clinton first put these in.
And that's still the case today.
Yeah. I still got all of them.
So is your question, Malcolm, whether this is something you ought to stick with, or how can we help you today?
I think, give my children a pretty good in size investment or payoff, you know, for. And I was wondering if I ought to do it with the I-bonds or if I should do it with a savings account that I've got.
Mm, okay. So really the question is, for your estate plans, of your total estate, you want to earmark certain assets for certain children, or are you just wanting to divide it up equally with whatever investments you have at your death?
I'm wanting to divide it up equally.
Okay.
As equally as I can.
Yes, sir. And so that would be done through a will, or you could have a beneficiary designation, and probably both. Given that it's all going to be divided equally, it really doesn't matter what investments you have once you pass away, as long as your estate planning is in order. I guess one question is, whether to stick with these I bonds or move to something else. Let's do this. If you can hold the line, we've got to take a quick break. We'll pick this up on the other side of the break here in our final segment and get Mark to talk you through this. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We're also just around the corner going to get Mark's take on bonds and the outlook for 2024. Stay with us. Much more to come.
Sandy Rios 24/7. It's not a morning show, it's an all-day show, fueled by the wit and wisdom of Sandy Rios.
If you have a smartphone, I think you should download the AFR app.
Sandy Rios 24/7 is on the podcast page at AFR.net.
I have, so many listeners from the radio show who are now listening to the podcast.
Sandy Rios 24/7.
You're in my prayers all the time.
Sandy Rios 24/7 on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program. God's blessings to you all.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Well, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today has been Mark Biller, our good friend and executive editor, frequent contributor from soundmindinvesting.org. We've been talking about bonds today, plus addressing your financial questions. Just ahead, Mark will give us his outlook for bonds heading into 2024. But before the break, we were talking to Malcolm. He's, 93 or 94 years old. He's amassed some substantial assets that he'll be giving through inheritance to his children at his death. But prior to that, and Mark, I was able to clarify this off the air, he's looking specifically for today's question at his desire to do some gifting now while he's alive, perhaps as much as $20,000 per child, and wondering which bucket, if you will, to pull that gifting from. He's amassed, and I'm not sure I've talked to anybody who has $350,000 in I-bonds. He's obviously been putting that money away for a long, long time, but he's got a substantial portfolio of inflation bonds, and then he's got a good bit just in more of a savings-type cash account. Just wondering where he should pull from. Anything he should consider as he considers that gifting, especially from a tax standpoint, or any other consideration as to where to pull that money from?
Yeah, there are a few things, Rob. So the first thing that's I-bond specific is I-bonds have some very specific rules about redeeming those and how quickly you can redeem an I-bond without forfeiting interest. So that's the first thing to watch out for. Now, it sounds like Malcolm has some longer-term holdings here that would probably not fall within that five-year period that causes you to give up 3 months of interest. So it would be worth being very specific and careful about which I-bonds he's gifting. The second consideration really is probably, you know, are I-bonds a good investment right now relative to regular bonds or relative to the savings that he has? And of course, I-bonds are very dependent on the rate of inflation. A year or two ago, you and I were talking on the program about how they were the best deal in bonds right now. And that's not the case anymore because inflation has come down so much. So I think it's, you know, certainly worthwhile to think about paring down these I-bond holdings, selling some of these, I think makes a lot of sense because I think that actually the rates you're getting in short-term treasuries and savings, good savings products, good money market funds are actually higher than the rates that you're getting internally from some of these old I-bonds. So I think it makes sense to sell some of those down, but just be very, very careful about the holding periods. You can't sell them within the first year, and then within the first 5 years of holding an I-bond, you're going to give up 3 months of interest. So keep an eye on that. And then, yeah, I think it makes sense to sell those down and get them diversified into some other types of bonds.
Yeah, but he wouldn't be able to gift those without redeeming them to another person, right? He would have to redeem them and then make the gift?
That's my understanding. Not real in the weeds on the specific rules of those, but that is one thing with I-bonds, too, is you're buying them directly from the government, and so that can make them a little tricky to work with.
Yeah. You may want to check on that, Malcolm. I think in either case, you're probably gifting, you know, after-tax money in this case, unless you wanted to make a stock gift to them. You know, are you looking for the most tax-advantaged funds to gift to them? Is that what you're trying to accomplish?
These bonds are all 15, maybe they're getting close to the 20 year. I believe you have to keep them for 20. I mean, they expire. In other words, 20 years, you don't get the interest.
So I think from a tax standpoint, when we're talking about these bonds with the U.S. Treasury, these I-bonds, you're going to have to redeem them, and then that would be taxable to you on the amount of interest you've earned, and then you could turn around and make the gift, as opposed to, let's say, you just had a taxable account with some stocks or bonds or mutual funds, you could potentially make the gift directly. So I think it's really just a matter of working with your CPA on this and determining, number one, how much you want to give to each child. You probably want to spread it over 2 years because the most you could give in 1 year would be $17,000, at least currently, unless you're married and you could do it between you and your wife. Otherwise, you'd have to fill out a gift tax form. There wouldn't be any tax due, but you'd have to notify the IRS if you go over that annual limit to one person, which is $17,000 currently. I hope that helps you, sir. I'd check in with your CPA before you make this final decision just to make sure you're doing it in a tax-advantaged way. We appreciate your call today. All right, Mark, we started today by talking about bond basics, and you gave us really a helpful background on how the prices of bonds move and the effect of interest rates and inflation. You talked about where we stand today and this idea that because we've seen bonds decline so much that, you know, typically, at least historically speaking, that means that bonds, you know, are in a great buying position. But given that, what would you say is the outlook for bonds? Of course, lots of analysts are saying we'll have a recession next year at some point, even if it's a mild one. So what would that do for bond prices?
Yeah, and that's a big point, Rob. A lot of this does hinge on that recession or no recession situation. And that's because during recessions, the Fed almost always cuts interest rates and usually quite substantially. And we started off talking about how when rate hikes happen, bond values fall. Well, the opposite happens when they cut interest rates, bond values tend to rise. So we've got a setup where bonds have already come down a lot And as we look forward to next year, there's a pretty good chance that we could see falling interest rates, which would be good for bonds. Now, of course, if we don't get a recession, then the script probably flips back the other way. No recession probably means we have continued inflation pressure, and that probably means that interest rates stay up. So you don't want to necessarily run out and load up on the riskiest long-term bonds right here because you're thinking that interest rates are going to come down in a recession. There's always a chance it's not going to turn out that way. But I would say overall, I'm very favorable on bonds moving forward from here. And if you've got a diversified portfolio that has, you know, a good mix of short and intermediate term bonds, I definitely would not be reducing those right now, even though the performance on those has not been very good the last couple of years. You know, you have to think about why are they in my portfolio in the first place, and the big reason most people own bonds is to reduce or kind of offset the stock market risk that they have in their portfolio. And now when you couple the bond losses we've already seen and the possible recession set up for next year, I think that a lot of the stars are aligned for bonds to do really well. So at a minimum, I would be maintaining those allocations. And for people who've been, you know, frightened and kind of scared into savings and CDs and that kind of thing, you could even be thinking about how over, you know, the next several months it might make sense to transfer some of that money into short and intermediate term bond funds to lock in some of today's higher yields in case those yields start to come down next year during a recession.
Yeah. So if you were somebody kind of transitioning into retirement, let's say you were building that 60-40 portfolio we talk about a lot, 60% bonds, 40% stocks, what specifically would you put in that bond portion for the average person? You're saying short to medium term, so give us some definition around that.
Yeah, so intermediate-term bonds, typically we're talking about 3 to 7 year maturities, but for a lot of people, you just want to find the intermediate-term bond fund in your 401k or other plan. Those have typically been the bond market sweet spot where you get a lot of the better return of longer-term bonds without having the risk associated with truly long-term bonds. So SMI has always said intermediate term bonds are really the market sweet spot. And if we do see that recessionary type of pulse next year, intermediate term bonds are going to do better than short term as interest rates fall. So I would say to have a mix of short term and intermediate term bonds, that could be, you know, roughly a 50-50 blend between the two. If you are really, you know, thinking that recession is very likely and you want to try to capitalize on that, you could tilt a little more heavily to intermediate term. Now, of course, if we do have a recession, long-term bonds are going to perform the best, but you got a lot of risk there, and I think you can really do well in intermediate term bond funds without going all the way out to long term. So yeah, a good blend of short and intermediate term is really where I think most listeners probably want to be.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And then quickly, just your take on where we head from here. Looks like the market is really priced in the Fed starting to aggressively cut rates next year, except if corporate earnings hold up and the consumer holds up and the job market holds up, I suspect they're going to be leery of reigniting the inflation fears. So where do you think we're headed just in 30 seconds or so?
Yeah, and so because of that, I wouldn't put all my apples in the rate cut basket. But the good thing is right now with rates where they are today, even if they just hold rates, short-term and intermediate-term bonds are producing a lot of income. So yeah, they're a good place to be right now, even okay, if they don't cut, and they're an even better place to be if they do cut next year.
No, that's really helpful. All right, Mark. Well, as always, a lot of great information. So thankful for our partnership with SMI and really appreciate your insights today on bond. Merry Christmas, my friend.
Thank you. You as well, Rob.
All right. That's Mark Biller, executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. Check out this article we've been talking about, Duration, a Simple Way to Gauge Bond Risk, and learn a whole lot more when you visit soundmindinvesting.org. On behalf of my team today, Devin Patrick, Robert Youngblood, and Jim Henry, I'm Rob West. Thanks for being with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Check us out online, faithfi.com. Click Give to support our work, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.